Hello, my name is Nate Sanchez, and I'm the producer and host of Supplying Success, a podcast that spotlights the state of supplier diversity in today's business world. In this series, you'll hear from guests that are recognized experts in supplier diversity, and I want to remind everyone the diverse supplier marketplace consists of certified minority-owned businesses known as MBEs, the Minority Supplier Development Councils that certify MBE companies, and, notably, the major corporations that contract with these MBEs to purchase goods and services. I want to introduce a very special guest on this episode of Supplying Success, Ms. Heather Ramsey from AT&T, who has had a long career in supplier diversity. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for doing this, Ms. Ramsey.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, Nate, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I guess to start, talk about your background in supplier diversity and, you know, all your work you've done, you know, with AT&T. Just talk about your background.
Sure. So I am celebrating 24 years with AT&T. Thank you. And have held, you know, many roles. I have a background in sales and marketing. And so everything has a shelf life. Every product has a shelf life, if you will. And so I worked for the Southwestern Bell Yellow Pages, sold Yellow Pages ads. And in 2013, I had the opportunity to join AT&T's corporate supplier diversity division. So I enjoy that because it enables me to use my sales experience, because supplier diversity really is about the promotion and advocacy for the diverse businesses, for MBEs in the community. So
I guess, so, you know, you touched on it there, you know, just being an advocate.
Right.
Why is it important to be an advocate for, you know, diverse suppliers? And like, why is there a division for supplier diversity?
Why is supplier diversity important?
Yeah, why is it important?
Absolutely. It's really all about the impact. It's about the collaboration that we have with our internal teams, our sourcing and business unit clients, and the connections that we make with the diverse suppliers. We are impacting not only, you know, the communities that we serve, but we're growing stronger economies. And you know, it's really now more important than ever that, you know, not only does diversity and inclusion in the workplace have such you know, importance out there, but also that your supply chain reflects that diverse component as well.
So when you know, AT&T, for example, is looking, you know, for diverse suppliers, what exactly are they looking for? Like from y'all's perspective, what does a diverse supplier bring to the table? And, you know, again, like, what do you guys look for in a diverse supplier?
Oh, sure. So, you know, AT&T, our supply chain supports our products and services nationwide. So certainly we're looking for suppliers that, you know, can scale and meet the demands and needs of our customer base. But, you know, when you are afforded an opportunity to do business with AT&T and participating in an RFP, you're earning that business. So our diverse suppliers that are in our supply chain, they've earned the business that they're awarded. And a lot of that is based on, you know, quality and, you know, their innovative ideas, being able to pivot, flex, move quicker. All of those features are so important to us.
I was wondering what, like, if you were going to say it or not, but you kind of mentioned it was like one thing, you know, Gary Castro has told me is like, you know, like diverse suppliers, you know, they're able to differentiate themselves by being flexible.
Right.
And, you know, smaller businesses are able to be much more flexible for clients than, you know, a larger client, like, I don't know, like FedEx or
Sure. Whoever
else, like a smaller logistics company like Logisticorp is able to, you know, change up like that. So like, what's the importance of flexibility for, you know, how much flexibility a diverse supplier has?
It's very important because, you know, we've got pain points in our supply chain. We're looking for companies that can provide a solution to us. So how do diverse suppliers differentiate themselves and stay relevant is that, you know, they're out there in the field, they're solving those, you know, they're identifying those problems and they're able to solve those, you know, solutions in a quicker fashion.
So one thing that's, you know, important with, you know, when you have diverse suppliers is engaging with them, you know, aligning with them. So how does AT&T engage and align with their diverse suppliers, and what does, you know, you guys' supplier diversity team look like?
Sure. Sure. So, you know, we have one of the largest supplier diversity teams across the country. There's 13 of us located across the U.S. And when a diverse supplier registers on our vendor portal, which is attsuppliers.com, what happens is they filter to the appropriate diversity manager that supports that segment. So if you are looking to do business in the advertising marketing side of the house, you would be connected with a supplier diversity professional that works very closely with our sourcing and our business unit clients on the opportunities that are available and how, you know, which makes us more effectively be able to advocate for that diverse supplier. So for Logisticor, for example, in the VAR space, they have a direct contact in our supplier diversity team to help support them with any, you know, concerns or any additional expansion territories that they could pick up. So we're aligned by commodity and category of spend to better able connect those new prospective diverse companies that are seeking to do business with AT&T.
It sounds like you guys, you know, do a really good job of streamlining this and, you know, making it easy for these diverse suppliers. Is that the main goal of all this, is just to make it as easy as possible for them and provide them,
absolutely,
you know, the best an opportunity as they can?
Absolutely. But it's you know, it's not a marathon. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, it does take time. You have to build that rapport and make that make the connections. Many of our RFP contracts are 3 to 5 years, so there may not be an immediate need. But when you engage with our team, attend these events, you know, through the DFW councils and such, you know, it affords you the ability to be on our radar, be top of mind. When that opportunity does hit our desk, we think of your company, and then we engage you.
So one thing I've noticed in, you know, working you know, with ISP Creative and with Logisticorp, and just some things that I've learned, you know, in like when I went to the DFW MSDC quarterly luncheon, is like, mm-hmm, how important it is, like MBEs helping MBEs.
Right.
What kind of message does that send when MBEs are, because you just mentioned, like, you know, that they hire MBEs, hire, you know, mm-hmm, like diverse demographics as well. So when you see minorities helping minorities, you know, what kind of message does that send for supplier diversity?
You know, it says that you are supporting the community. And, you know, I want to explain some of the vision and the expansion that we've done within our supplier diversity program. For us, it's not just about spend with diverse suppliers or the number of diverse suppliers that are in supply chain. We are really looking at job impact, and we are measuring, you know, how the procurement dollars that we spend with diverse companies is impacting the employment for diverse individuals. So that's something, you know, a more broad approach of supplier diversity, you know, as a whole that we're looking at.
So with AT&T, and, you know, you're just starting to go there a little bit, what does AT&T do specifically to support these opportunities for diverse suppliers? And, you know, once those diverse suppliers get their foot in the door, how does, and this is like, you know, obviously AT&T is part of the question because, you know,
sure,
you work for AT&T, but just like corporate buyers in general, you know, how do they support diverse suppliers once they get that foot in the door and they get the contract?
So what, you know, I can speak to AT&T, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, our program has been around since 1968. We have over $214 billion in spend with,
wow,
diverse suppliers over that time, but we really engage, and we're very intentional in how we do that, and we're always looking to promote what we call business fostering solutions, how we can help a diverse supplier grow and scale in capacity. So partner them with one of our, you know, large primes that's in our supply chain to help with that. But we also conduct quarterly reviews with our supplier, and we're always looking at, you know, risk assessment. You know, how is this supplier performing? What can we do to help them? Is there anything that they need from us that would help them grow? And so that's something that's always, you know, top of mind for us and at the forefront of how we work and engage with the suppliers in our supply chain.
So one thing that, you know, I have learned about AT&T and, you know, how they work with supplier diversity is they've started to emphasize community impact more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're, you know, evaluating their diverse suppliers. So Talk about, you know, AT&T's view on the importance of community impact for diverse suppliers.
Sure. We want to do business that value the culture and the beliefs, you know, that we have within AT&T. So, I mean, certainly I talked earlier about, you know, we're looking at the diversity and inclusion. We're measuring the D&I workforce of our supply chain because we are reporting out on that job impact that we're influencing. So we want our customers to also have that same vision and have that same model and supporting the community and working with hiring diverse individuals and so forth. So it's certainly part of our culture and it's becoming part of how within the supply chain, all the process of the RFP. I mean, it's questions that are being asked. What does your company do to support the community? So it's part of the RFP process.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to ask about that was, so you said you've been at AT&T since 2013, yes?
2013 on our supplier diversity team, yeah.
So how in recent, because I feel like with just like recent societal changes, like there's been a lot more emphasis on diversity and the importance of that. So what's the biggest change or changes, if there's more than one, that you've seen, AT&T's strategy on evaluating diverse suppliers and just like how recent societal changes have affected how AT&T has viewed supplier diversity?
Well, we've certainly, we've always measured our spend and, you know, AT&T has a corporate goal of doing business with diverse companies. But we have expanded that because of things that have happened in the country. And we have really dialed into, you know, what is our spend with specific segments and what can we do? Do we need to grow that more? What can we do to help these specific, you know, MBE companies grow?
So what does AT&T have like specific goals? Like each year or, you know, I guess generally, you know, do they have specific goals?
Absolutely.
For supplier diversity?
Absolutely. And what's so great about our supplier diversity program is, you know, we do have one of the best in class supplier diversity programs because we have, you know, like I said, started back in 1968. But we have support from our most executive leadership team. And so our corporate goal for supplier diversity inclusion is 21.5%. And we're very focused on that. But we're moving to not so much speak to a percentage of spend, but really looking at what does that dollar amount reflect? $10 billion, $13 billion, $14 billion, and how is that impacting the community? So you'll see us talk less about a specific percentage, but more about, the spend as a whole and how that is impacting the community and the economy at large. That's so, really the change that's evolved.
Like you were saying earlier, like community impact has just become a much more important aspect of everything recently. So, you know, obviously it helps diverse suppliers, like that, like that's obvious. But, you know, when a diverse supplier gets a contract with, let's say, AT&T, for example, how does working with diverse suppliers help AT&T? What does AT&T get out of it, if you see what I'm getting at? You
know? Oh, absolutely. The reflection of doing business with diverse companies that reflect our customer base. I mean, that's something that we talk about all the time. But I hit on this a little bit earlier, but I mean, diverse suppliers are flexible, they're nimble, they move fast. So they're able to work with our teams and develop products or solutions quicker for us, and that's what we're about. You know, we want to serve our customers first, and so when our supply chain can serve us and meet the needs, pain points that we have in a quick fashion, that's critical.
So, you know, another thing I wanted to hit on was, the impact of the Minority Supplier Development Council, especially, the DFW MSDC and like their 1% plus plan that's been rolled out recently. Mm-hmm. So I guess just, broadly, what are the benefits of officially becoming MBE certified, through these MSDCs? Like, What's the, I know, you know, they get certified through the MSDCs. And so does that get them on the radar for, you know, bigger corporations like AT&T? You know, what's the biggest benefit for DFW MSDC?
To be certified? Absolutely. You know, it certainly, you know, brings you the ability to have a seat at the table. But the networking events and the ways that you can actively engage with companies that are seeking to do business with diverse suppliers, you've kind of narrowed your search, you know, by being certified and joining the council and being active and attending the events. You know, that's what's key. That's what I've seen over time. You know, we meet a lot of companies that want to do business with AT&T, and it's our role is to really identify what the core competency is for that company and then help navigate them through our supply chain. And the DFW Council works hand in hand with us in bringing diverse suppliers to us.
Yeah, that was one of the things I've learned through this project is like, excuse me, one of the, I don't know if you've met her before, but Donna Clemons with Joy Promotions, she was one of the other people we interviewed for this. And she, you know, is a MBE, WBE business owner. Mm-hmm. And she just spoke effusively about, you know, the MSDC and, you know, the work that it does for, you know, MBEs and just getting them the opportunity that they otherwise wouldn't get. She was telling me about, like, having to make cold calls all the time. And just, like, it connects you so well to, you know, these bigger companies. So I guess, you know, what's the biggest growth you've seen in, you know, the local economy for MBEs? Because she was talking about, you know, how much better it's gotten recently. Like, obviously, you know, especially with the 1% plus plan, like, there still needs to be a lot more growth. What's the biggest area of growth you've seen in the, you know, in the climate for MBEs in the business world?
Well, I really just think it's the understanding of diversity and inclusion in the supply chain. You know, many folks understand diversity and inclusion in the workforce, but really, you know, spotlighting that there are diverse owned companies that can provide products and services to corporations, you know, and by doing so, you're supporting the diverse community. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? This was awesome. Thank you so much.
I've enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for doing this. Definitely learned a lot. And
you're welcome.
You know, I think the best part about this whole project and this podcast is I've been able to get so many different perspectives. I think of the six interviews off the top of my head, I think two of them are corporate buyers, three of them are MBEs, and then I also talked to Don McNeely, who mm-hmm. you know runs mm-hmm. MBN USA. So you know, I've gotten some really awesome perspectives and definitely learned a lot through this project. So, you know, but before we wrap this up, I do want to thank ISP Creative for, you know, they have a fantastic studio here. They've hosted this project all summer, getting ready for this podcast and having people in this, you know, awesome podcast studio. And I'd also like to thank the Logisticorp Group. This podcast was made possible with their support. So unless you have anything else, Ms. Ramsey, that's all for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to check out all the other episodes of Supplying Success.